Good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. We're going to finish up 11, and if we get into 12, good. If we don't, just keep those outlines for number 12 for next week. But we want to finish up the damage of anger, and Jonah 4:1 is the verse we were on in lesson 11. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And you know, that seems so odd that a Christian, somebody that knew God, would be angry because revival came. But that's exactly what happened. So I just want to cover one last thing on anger, and then we'll go into 12. Not only do our actions get us in trouble in life, but our reactions do as well. We need to exercise discretion with respect to those reactions. Proverbs 19:11 states, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. So the definition of discretion, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. See, just knowing what is the right thing to do is not really that good unless you do it with caution, know when to apply it, know when to do what we're supposed to do. I always like Webster's 1824 dictionary, 1884, whatever year it is. It always, lots of times, will give Bible verses in as part of the definition. A good man will guide his affairs with discretion. Psalms 112, verse 5. My son, keeps sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 3:21. So Solomon in Proverbs advises his son, not only to have wisdom, but to use it with discretion. God gives great advice in James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So we need to be careful in what we do. And Jonah, in this case, was not very careful at all. And then we have a slanderous defense. In verse 2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my say when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So what Jonah is saying here is inaccurate. It's an inaccurate expose. This is about as low as a man can sing. Jonah is accusing God of being wrong. And this is the lessons that we went through. A selfish displeasure and a surly disposition will lead to a slanderous defense. When we're selfish and we're angry, we'll say things against other people that just aren't true. These character flaws will cause you to think, if you can't be right, then nobody else is right. And we've all probably been in that point to where we get mad and we don't care what the other person thinks. We're right. We won't even consider what the other person thinks. We can never question God's ways, though. He doesn't have to explain himself. Perhaps we would have chosen to destroy the people of Nineveh, but we don't have the grace and wisdom that God has. So the steps of Christian disobedience. You know, earlier in studying the book of Jonah, a couple of times we played that song, the very best way to show that you believe is obedience. Well, the very best way to show that you don't believe is disobedience. So, selfishness, we want something we shouldn't have, right? Whether it's somebody else's or it's something forbidden, something we shouldn't have, but we want it. And then you take that and put anger with anger. when we get caught. Anger keeps you from repentance. When somebody catches you doing something, when somebody sees something and they say something about it, flesh gets mad. You get angry. And the first thing you think about usually is not repenting or saying I'm wrong. Usually it's they shouldn't even have been here. They shouldn't say that. They don't have the right. And then so when you're selfish and you're angry, then you slander. Your accuser, your victim, and the whole world is wrong. I remember when I was little, and this is the second remembrance I have of being corrected. The first one was washing a car without any water. Just a dry rag. But I remember these marshmallow puff coconut cookies, and they've got a name, but I can't think what you call them. Malachi, yeah. And well, I loved them things. And Mom got some, and she gave us one, and she put the rest in the cookie jar and says, now that's all you get. You don't need any more. Well, I was selfish. I thought, what do you mean I don't need any more? I said, well, I want another one. One more won't hurt. So I got another one. I snuck and got another one. And so that's the selfishness part of it. But you know, moms are rarely wrong. But God is never wrong. If I disagree with Brother Tim, there's some options here. Either I'm wrong and he's right, or I'm right, he's wrong, or we're both partly right, right? All that could happen. But if I disagree with God, I'm wrong, and he's right. But when the Holy Spirit catches us, and that's really a bad term because he didn't catch us, he already knew, but when we realize it and he is convicting us, we still want what we were doing, right? What are we doing? What are we going after? We still have that selfishness. And we're almost angry that this should not be wrong for me to have this. I don't know how many relationships between men and women that should not be. And I've heard the excuses that they give why it's okay. No, the Bible says that's not a relationship that you should be in. It's not okay. And they get angry if you say anything about it. In Isaiah chapter 58 verses 8 and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's no comparison to what God knows and what we know. You can't compare it to anything. God compares it to the difference of us being down here and us being able to reach up into the heavens. We can't do it physically, not within our own power. Psalm 118:30. As for God, his way is perfect. We may not always understand it, but Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. There's nothing God does that's not righteous. There's nothing God does that's wrong. It's perfect. We should be careful with our thoughts toward God. As clay, we must not question the potter. Romans 9:18-21. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? So we don't have the right to say that person's getting by with that and that's not right. Well, they're doing wrong, but God not punishing them for it yet is right, because God made that choice. We don't understand it, but God didn't make a mistake. Shall we Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I mean, if a potter had a lump of clay and he cut it in half and he made this beautiful vessel, whatever pot he made out of it, and he threw the rest of it away, there's nothing wrong with that. It's his. He can do what he wants to with it. And then an insulting excuse. Even more disgusting than Jonah's accusation against God's mercy is his sorry excuse for his own disobedience. He has the gall in verse 2 to tell God that it was this very mercy of God that caused him to disobey in the first place. He said, remember, this is what he said, therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. Because of your mercy, because I knew of your mercy, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance of evil. God, that's why I run, God, because you're gracious and merciful. It's a dangerous thing to slander the Lord. He said, God, it's your fault. That's slander. It wasn't God's fault. Remember when people used to jokingly say, the devil made me do it? Jonah's actually saying here, seriously, God, you made me do it. You made me sin. You made me run. You made me do wrong. Proverbs 19:3 states, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So our foolishness, our lack of knowledge, perverts our way. When we do things out of our knowledge instead of out of the knowledge that God gives us in his word, we will do wrong. Paul warns us in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. If we just follow the word of God and don't dispute with God whether it's right or not, we'll be okay. Are you murmuring in your life today against God for something that did not go well in your past? Are you disputing with him about how you have been treated or about your lot in life? The Corinthian church fell into that mode, and Paul gave them a little history lesson from the children of Israel and sternly stated, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. The next time you think you got a raw deal, think about Jesus on the cross. Did he deserve to be spit on? Did he deserve the crown of thorns? Did he deserve the nails in his hands and in his feet? Did he deserve to hang there? 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So we have the examples in the Word of God of how to live. We have the instructions of how to live. And that's what we are to do. And every instruction in the Word of God is correct and perfect. So that's going to bring us in to lesson 12 of Jonah. A pathetic position. And we go into verse 3 of Jonah, of chapter 4 of Jonah. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. As an overview, disobedience, selfishness, anger, and bitterness can be kept inside for a while, but eventually, as Proverbs says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, to think what the Bible is saying, to think in his heart, I mean, what you really think, not what you say, not what people think you think, but what you think, that's who you are. God admonishes us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So now here in Jonah chapter 4, the real Jonah is about to stand up. Remember that old game show, Will the Real Whoever Stand Up? Jonah's about to do that very thing. It's almost like Jonah was under God's witness protection plan. He's God's witness, and God has promised to watch over him and protect Jonah as long as he goes and testifies when God tells him where to go and gets him there, right? That's the witness protection. That's what you say, okay, and if you'll testify, we'll take care of you. We'll protect you. And God is saying, as long as you are in my will, as long as you're doing what I have asked you to do, you are in my protection. Nothing can happen to you. Had he been doing God's will, he would have met the whale, right? So God is protecting him as long as he's in it. So Jonah has agreed to do that, but somewhere along the line, he changed his mind. He leaves the place of protection and is almost killed by the whale. He's taken down to the bottom of the ocean. God rescues Jonah, and he again agrees to testify, but only to save his life. He testifies. The accused confesses and receives probation. Immediately, Jonah wishes he had died. Jonah gave up his old life. He relocated and took up the new life God gave him. After he does, God refuses to punish the wicked. The thoughts of our heart should not be for God to punish the wicked, but for God to save the wicked. Who is the wicked person that your heart wants to see punished? Don't allow your desire to see them punished swallow you up and pull you down under the ocean. Now, as a theme for the lesson, Jonah is perhaps for the first time in the book of Jonah being truly honest with God. What is down in his heart is coming to the surface, and it's not a pleasant revelation. We must learn to be honest about our true condition before God. We try to hide things from God. We can't hide anything from God. We can hide it from ourselves. We can convince ourselves it's not going on, but we're not hiding anything from God. The longer we live in phoniness or hypocrisy, the more miserable we will be in the end. And lesson objectives, to help the student understand that we are not merely human beings, but we are human becomings. So we're not finished. God's not finished with us, right? We will become something else. We will become a better Christian if we listen to God. Everything we do today has an impact on what we will become in the future. To strengthen the student's conviction about the origin and sanctity of life. To challenge the student to live his life for that which is eternal rather than that for which is temporal. To enable the student to see how valuable his life can be if yielded completely to God's perfect will. Got just enough time to do this one thing right here. And we're going to talk about something. Again, the text is, therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Can you imagine saying that to God? God, you've done me wrong. Just go ahead and kill me. Now, Brother Eddie's going to help me do something. Brother Eddie, come up here a minute, please, sir. And you're going to be an actor today. Now, you won't mind the person that you are, you won't mind who you are portraying at all. Except you may feel a little humbled because, Brother Eddie, I want you to go back to the back of the choir, back there, sit in the center in the back. And Brother Eddie, today, is going to portray God. Okay? So, and this in my mind, and I've thought about this. This verse right here, this is how I've pictured it in my mind, so to speak. Not that it was in the back of the choir, but you'll see what I'm saying in a minute. So all this time, Jonah has run from God. You can go ahead and sit down, brother. He's run from God, right? He tried to go down to Tarshish. He got on the ship. They threw him over. He went down. The whale took him down into the deep. And then, three days, he's still refusing to give over to God. And all this time, he's here and God is way off somewhere else, right? That's the way I view it. He doesn't. He's not close to God, right? He's not in God's will. He doesn't want to be around God. He's trying to get away from God. And then he obeys God. As I said a minute ago, to save his life, he obeys God. He goes to Nineveh and he witnesses, he testifies, Nineveh has revival. And then He doesn't confess. But in my mind, this is the way it's, all this time he's been away from God. And then all of a sudden, he charges right up to God and doesn't say, God, you're right. God, I confess. Oh, God, I wish I'd done this sooner. He goes up to God and said, God, you're wrong. Just let me die, God. So he's taken, it to the ultimate level. He has asked God to let him die. One word comes to mind, pathetic. We're not talking about a lost sinner. We're not talking about one of Israel's enemies. We're talking about one of Israel's prophets. But he's allowed himself to get in such a position with God that he won't even talk right with God. You know how you get angry and you can't talk peaceable to somebody? He can't even talk peaceable to God. Let's not let ourselves even begin to go down that road. We're going to have prayer and then we're going to talk about a couple of things. Right? Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to follow your word. Lord, when you give us a command, when you give us instructions, when we read the word of God, Lord, help us to obey it. Help us not to run away from it. Help us not to, Lord, simply obey because we feel for our life or because that we feel it will help us, Lord. But, Lord, that we obey to honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of things. You probably still get that a little bit early. We have a sign-up sheet out there. And I know a lot of us in this class, right? You're around my age, so, and some of you, you're not able to go out on Operation Saturation, go door to door and hang bags on doors. That's completely understandable. So what I would ask you to do, if you're not able to do that, we can use some help putting those bags together. If you're available this coming Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I know somebody's working, you can't do that. But if you are available, if you can do that, please come and help us Tuesday. And I would ask you to text me if you can. You don't have to say anything to me now. You just text me, I'll get it. I'll know that. But if you don't text, then let me know, and I'll put it in my phone, okay? So we got to know how many people we've got coming so we can plan how long that we're going to be here and have everything ready to get that done. Now then, I would ask you, if you are able to go door to door, carry some bags, put on doorknobs, that's going to be June the 12th. We have a sign-up sheet for that out there. Put your name down on there. Say, yes, I'll go out. We're going to leave about 9:15 in the morning, be back by 12. And, of course, part of that time is traveling to the place and traveling back. So a couple of hours is all it's going to be. And all you don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to knock on any doors. We're just going to hang that bag on the door. Unless we're going to try to do 3,000 bags. And we can do that if we get enough people to do that. Because what we don't get done, Brother Eddie's going to do that next Monday. Now, we'll get them out one way or the other, but hopefully we can get them out. We're trying to plan the best we can. Now, normally when we do Operation Saturation, we do no months ahead of time. Because of COVID, we couldn't do that, right? We couldn't let everybody know. We didn't know how. Every week, you know, something changes. But June the 12th, at 9:15, we're going to go out and put these bags on the door. So please, if you're able, and you're not obligated to do something else, please come out and help us. Put your name down on there. And don't wait till June, that Sunday, or Saturday, so 3 days before that, the 9th. Don't wait till Wednesday, June the 9th, to put your name down, okay? Go ahead and get down so I will know that you're going to be able to do that. And so I can plan where everybody's going, how many people I have going. Now, this class in here, I told them this morning, none of them have to work June 12th. I give them that day off work. So they're going to be here. So I wish I could do that. But I did tell him that. It wasn't true. But so help us to get this done. And we didn't get one done last year because of COVID. We actually have things that we're handing out this year and put in bags that we had last year. But we couldn't do it last year. So we're going to try to get that done, try to reach 3,000 people with a Spanish track, an English track. We've got a little brochure. And when you see these brochures, each family in the church can have one. These were printed last year. Some of you have seen them. Most of you haven't. It's got a lot of people in it. I was looking at the brochures and amazed at some of the children, how much they have grown. Abigail is about this tall, and it's only like 16, 18 months old. And now she's like, you know, up here. A lot of the kids have grown. Miss Susan, your kids have grown. Everybody, in, you know, all the children have grown, and we'll let the families have one of those when we get done. But please, really just, if you're able and you're not obligated, please come out and join us. And then let me know if you can help Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Thank you. Y'all dismissed.